Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, 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 oh yeah. Somehow, some way, we have made it to Friday.
We have.
It's the Carton Show. We got Big Mac. We got Craig Carton. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are
good
you
good afternoon.
Today?
I'm doing great, Craig.
Are you?
We're back.
We're back.
We're back. Us Giant fans are back.
No, you can't have it that way.
We're back.
And I'm going to get to that in just one second. Once again, I'm right. Everyone else is wrong.
Uh-huh.
On this radio station, I'm 4 days back, and already I'm just knocking them down with right things.
Listen, we don't know yet, but one of the dominoes we expected, if we were going to go through that, where he's going to end up in Miami, it's a fait accompli. You know, they're the seventh team. Suddenly they fire their coach. Yeah. There would have been a hire with Miami. That would have been that next domino to fall, and that domino did not fall.
Yeah, so that's my point. For all your pathetic worrying that the Miami Dolphins are going to come in and steal your head coach, I sat here yesterday all day, Aaron Beck and I listened to the show, and I watched the show on SNY, and I said, man, I'm handsome. And number two, man, could I have been more right? You guys sat here all day yesterday. Every show in the station, every caller to the station. Oh, no. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, Miami wants him. Well, how about this? What have I told you, little Didi, about that? And that's not how I want to start the show today, but it's fine. You brought it up. I'm your Huckleberry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's
no,
all good.
Please.
No, it's all good. I'm going to be very busy today. I'm actually going to be leaving here in about 5 minutes to go down to the Canyon of Heroes for a parade, which I'll get to in just 1 second. But before I leave and go to the Canyon of Heroes for my my parade today, which I'll get to, I promise, in just 1 second, there's a little part of the Dolphin Harbor story that nobody considered at all on this radio station, whether that be host or caller, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. And I'm telling you something. I can tell you something that's a fact that has not been reported anywhere else, okay? You guys had this, and I understand why, because you just didn't know. You guys had this theory that because Jim Harbaugh coached at Michigan, was supported, of course, by Stephen Ross there, and while he was at Michigan, Stephen Ross actually toured with the idea 1 year of bringing him from Michigan down to Miami, and obviously he stayed in Michigan. That never happened, right? You guys had this idea that Stephen Ross was very close with the Harbaugh boys, both Jim and John. And I understand why you thought that way, because you just didn't know any better.
I knew what I was
and
reading.
I heard my main man Boomer today talking about having dinner with Stephen Ross and this and that and the other thing. I have as well. All right? I have as well.
Okay.
Met him many, many times.
What'd you have?
What if it was a party, there was like a set course and he couldn't pick what it was.
Sure.
It was fine. It was my cousin's engagement party. All right. Here's the deal. All right? What would you say if I told you that the reason the Dolphins were never a threat to steal Johnny Harbaugh from the New York Giants is that Stephen Ross and Jim Harbaugh hate each other? They are not close.
They hate each other.
That would be news to me. They do not have a good relationship. They do not have an active relationship.
Really?
Things went south between Jim Harbaugh and Stephen Ross over a lot of the things that took place at Michigan while Jim Harbaugh was there, all right? So the notion that all you idiots have gone forward with about how, oh, the Ross family is really close to the Harbaugh family and Jim has vouched for his brother and Stephen Ross had great success at Michigan. They won a national championship with Jim, so he's going to go to John. Jim Harbaugh and Stephen Ross do not speak to each other. They are not good friends. They do not vacation together. They do not go to each other's homes and celebrate the holidays. So the notion that Stephen Ross was in bed somehow with the Harbaugh family is just factually incorrect. And there's only one guy out there, one reporter, that I will give credit to that has been on this story accurately from Jump Street. And that's the guy Darlington. What's his name? Jim Darling, Jeff Darlington, John Darlington, yep. Bob Darlington, something Darlington,
okay.
I guess, covers the Dolphins for ESPN or SNY or ES or Fox, I don't know who the hell he works for. But that guy,
Jeff Darlington.
There you go. Good job, Jeff. Jeff Darlington has been on some jump street. Now, let me tell you why I got to leave in a couple minutes. And okay. I hate to do that to you. It's our first week.
Yeah.
I was planning on working an entire week, which I don't want to do a lot of. But I'm but I got to go. I got to go in a couple minutes.
You yeah. just made my day and now you
got
to leave?
I got it. The Giants are getting Harbaugh. Don't worry about it, all right?
Okay.
I got to go.
Where you got to go?
Parade. Parade starts at 2:30 today. And I'm a little surprised that you're unaware of the parade. We've not had a ticker tape parade down the Canyon of Heroes in quite some time, right?
Right.
We're having one today, 2:30, and I'm going to be in one of the convertibles. I'm very proud to say that. I've been blessed with a lot of gifts in my life, but the fact that I got a phone call today, this morning, saying the parade is on, and we'd like you to ride in one of the convertibles as a representative fan of our great success.
What am I missing?
Did you not know that the New York Jets offensive line played every game this year? Did you not know that?
All five of them.
Did you not know that?
I had heard that.
So the Jets put out a tweet today celebrating the fact for the first time and only time since 2023, which to the Jets must seem like a long time ago. All right? The Jets put out a tweet today yelling to the moon that they've done something that has not been done once since way back. In 2023, all five offensive linemen started every single game. And for those of you that are not Jet fans, that wonder why Jet fans like me and Evan Roberts and others that are here at the radio station are so frustrated by the New York Jets, is that every time we think they've turned a corner, every time we think maybe they're going to start understanding like who they are and what they are, they disappoint you. The fact that my beloved New York Jets are so tone deaf in another awful year to put out a tweet today celebrating the fact that they're the only team in the last, I don't know, 18 months to have five offensive linemen start every single game is representative of every single thing wrong with my franchise. But I decided I've had very little things to celebrate as a sports fan in New York. I'm going to the parade. That's what I'm doing. Woo!
They're going to put you on a convertible to celebrate?
Yeah, damn right. That's right.
Along with the best kickoff duo, the kick return duo in the NFL?
That's the other tweet they put out. Despite the fact that the Jets' offense was ranked 32nd, despite the fact that the Jets' defense was ranked 31st, the Jets had a couple kick returns for touchdowns. And they put that tweet out today.
Yeah.
Like the social media director for the New York Jets. It's got to be the toughest job in sports. Mm-hmm. So I'm not suggesting that young guy or gal should be fired.
Right.
But someone's got to go there and say, stop. Please stop. In a 3-win season, which we're not going to get a better head coach, could you please not put out a tweet celebrating something that no Jet fan wants to hear about? Yuck.
That is, I mean, listen, it goes with Aaron Glenn, though. Let's be honest. This is the same. He's been peddling this stuff for forever. He didn't. They also.
Maybe he's the guy that put the tweet out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. They didn't have a field goal blocked all year. There's another one.
Woo!
Woo!
Look at us.
Let's go.
Look at us. Just when you thought a 3-14 season had nothing positive in it, here come the New York Jets and their social media team. Woo! Woo!
They are something special, these New York Jets.
I mean, I cannot
believe. The field
goal
percentage of the kicker. These are all things that we should be celebrating on the 3-win season. That was an out-and-out disaster in every way, shape, and form.
It's like,
and as the rest of the NFL, practically, right? Half the NFL possibly has hopes of hiring John Harbaugh, or bringing in a head coach with a Super Bowl championship with Mike McCarthy, Harbaugh. Stefanski's the talk of everybody's, all over the NFL. Not the Jets. They're bringing back the same crap. But
that's right.
Five offensive
linemen started every single game. And by the way, that has not been done since way back, in 2023, which was like yesterday.
That's amazing.
Now, a couple other things to get to. I know this is not a college football town. I honestly don't care. Last night was awesome. Mm-hmm. Last night was a gift to those of us that are sports fans and had nothing else going on. Last night was every single thing you and I love about sports. I want to tell you something right now. Was that a pass interference in the end zone? Probably was. Should it have been called? No. I'm glad they didn't make that call right there on a Hail Mary pass. And the reason I say that is not that You know, and I'm going to be a little inconsistent on this because, yes, a penalty is a penalty, should be called any time of game, blah, 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 right? But the reason I was glad they did not throw the flag in the end zone last night as Miami advances, of course, past Ole Miss, they get the winner of tonight's game, Indiana-Oregon, a week from Monday for the national championship, is that on the Ole Miss drive that gave them the lead with a minute whatever left to go, there was an egregious penalty called against Miami. And I do think if you want to have some type of equitable ending where the referees cannot...
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Be accused of favoring one team over the other or making huge calls in the clutch that, you know, extends the drive, which it did for Ole Miss with about 3-4 minutes to go that led to their touchdown drive. Then I think the non-call against Miami kind of evened the score on that. Because without the bad call against Miami on the drive before for Ole Miss, they don't score that touchdown. It would have been 4th and 16. They're gonna punt at that point, and maybe they never get the ball back. So you could yell and scream all you want. I understand why Ole Miss fans are pissed.
Sure.
If I was an Ole Miss fan, I would be livid and I'd be yelling at the officials for not making that call. And I want to be clear. By the letter of the law, 100% that's pass interference. And I have another complaint about last night. Whoever that guy is working for ESPN, that's supposed to be like the ex-official that is supposed to give us commentary on officiating calls. Was it a good call? Was it a bad call? That's one of the worst dudes I've ever heard do it. He didn't disagree with a single call, even on the targeting call against Ole Miss that rightfully got overturned and the kid did not get kicked out of the game. That wasn't targeting.
Yeah.
And the dude in the booth is like, oh, clearly targeting, launched himself, you know, helmet-to-helmet contact, got to be kicked out of the game. And then they overturned it, and he goes, well, maybe it wasn't targeting. But did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, not all of it. I did fall asleep. I'm sorry. I'm getting used to the new schedule.
Dude, I get up at 5:30
I watched
in the
replays
morning.
Of it. I did not watch the whole thing, no.
How could you not watch that? Like, at what point did you turn that game off?
Second half? I didn't turn it off. I dozed off.
Second half?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
But I did see the controversial play at the end. And
but you didn't see it live.
I did not see it live.
So you didn't have the emotional aspect of watching that game.
I didn't have the emotional aspect of it anyway. But I can tell you this. Yes, I agree with you, like, tit for tat. But also, that call at the end of the game isn't egregious enough for me. I don't like giving like help on Hail Marys at the end of the game.
I agree.
I think I know letter of the law. Was it a pass interference? Looking at I would have thrown
it. It was a 35-yard pass.
But I mean, that is a Hail Mary up for grabs, corner of the end zone. That's an incredibly difficult call play to make. And you're going to give it to him on, you know, two guys kind of hand fighting there. And it was pass interference.
They were
kind of like, but I don't want to give them anything on a final Hail Mary play. But I mean, it was, and I do agree with you. You could go through that game. That would be fair. You can go through any game and find calls on either side.
I just don't like
Hail Marys. It has to, you have to practically bring the guy down
if you want
me to get a penalty on a final play.
Meanwhile, that game ends, so Ole Miss's season ends. So for those of you that follow it, and this is going to become an issue maybe for the Jets and the Giants draft-wise, more the Jets, obviously, than the Giants. So Trinidad Chambliss, who's the new rock star quarterback for Ole Miss, who won a D2 championship prior to then transferring the portal to Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. And I thought that kid played great. And that kid, whatever you might have thought about him, if you've not seen a lot of Ole Miss football games, that kid has, I think, made himself a first-round draft pick in this year's NFL draft. And I say that because the Jets now have options. Right, everyone's falling in love with the Oregon quarterback. You'll see him tonight, Dante Moore. So the thinking goes, obviously, Mendoza goes one to the Raiders. Now the Jets are on the clock. Do the Jets want to take, you know, that kid from Oregon, Dante Moore, who has not yet declared that he's coming out yet?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he'll do that after this game, and you got to figure he's coming out because he's going to be a top 3 or 4 pick no matter what.
Right.
So you don't say no to that opportunity. But now you have this Trinidad Chambliss kid, and I've seen a lot of Ole Miss football this year. And there's a lot to like about that kid because I'll tell you what, that kid in the clutch trailing again. They were trailing the last game by 9 at halftime, trailing again against Miami in this game in the second half. That kid made play after play after play to bring them back. And I think Dante Moore's got a little competition on his hands now for who the number two quarterback is.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I'll be honest. This is great news for the Jets.
I think so, too.
And I was surprised. Like, I know we asked for it earlier, but like, I'm surprised. You just said it. He's going to be a top pick here. I'm surprised he wanted to request to stay. I know he probably did that earlier in the season. He's been, I think you can make the case, as of right now, the best of the tournament here.
I think
he's been the best quarterback in the last few weeks.
You asked for the extra year of eligibility because you want optionality.
Right.
Right? And look, a kid like that's going to make $4 or $5 million as a quarterback. Well,
that's the thing. He can go back. If he feels he's not ready, he could go back, still make $4 or $5 million. It's not like it used to be. If you had an opportunity to be a top pick, you had no choice. Now you can go back, make some money, feel like you're better off. And then even if you fall down the draft, you can end up with a better team and a better situation.
Absolutely right.
So I understand it, but there is no to me, watching these games, and I've been honest with you, and I've always been honest, I'm not the biggest college football fan. Not my thing. I haven't seen that much of Ole Miss. You might have. I haven't. I've seen
Kid's a good quarterback.
I've seen the playoff games. I think he's the best quarterback going in these games. Now, that doesn't mean I think he's necessarily a better NFL prospect than Mendoza or anybody else.
I think he's a better athlete than Mendoza.
Yeah.
Mendoza's a very good quarterback. I know that you have that former Giants scouter guy claiming to be a Giants scouter said he grades out as a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, that's a bunch
of nonsense. Buy that.
Yeah.
But I think this is great for the Jets.
No doubt.
I think you now have a little competition.
And you're guaranteed.
What quarterback gets drafted.
And you're guaranteed the two, right?
Yes.
The Moore is still a chance. You don't know if he's going to come out. I think we all assume it, and I think it's a fair assumption. But now you're guaranteed that second quarterback in the draft. And for the Giants, and I know it isn't a Giants story necessarily, but three quarterbacks coming out that could, and we know how quarterbacks go to the top of the draft.
Yeah.
The Giants picking fifth. That could open it up to the idea of them getting clearly at least the second best player in the draft.
Non-quarterback.
Yeah. Second best player
in the
draft.
By the way, it's good news for the Giants.
Or if other teams in front of them pass on a quarterback, now it opens them up what we were, a lot of us Giant fans are hoping for, the ability to trade back.
Right.
If he falls to the fifth pick, maybe there's a team that values him, willing to move up and make that kind of trade that the Giant fan was looking for.
Yeah, I think, by the way,
I think that's a huge story.
I think it benefits the Jets more, obviously.
Of course, they need the quarterback.
But there is a benefit to the Giants.
Yeah. So,
like, if I'm a Giant fan, and this kid, Trinidad Chambliss, is now the toast of the town. If he does move up all the way to a top five pick, if I'm the Giants, give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first three to four picks are quarterbacks. That means I am getting, at worst, the second best non-quarterback in this draft.
Absolutely.
So this actually could turn out very well for the New York Giant fan. I'll just tell you one other thing from this game last night, because it was interesting to me. So there's a freshman on Miami, last name Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Tony reclassified to come out of high school earlier. He's a 17-year-old kid. So he's not eligible to come to the NFL for two more years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the best players on the Miami Hurricane team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's interesting. You have Carson Beck, the quarterback.
Sure.
All right, he's been there for 7 years or in college for 7 years. He's coming out. He's not a first-round draft pick in the NFL. But it was interesting because when Tony, the great wide receiver from Miami, was in elementary school when he was 11 years old, which is what, fourth grade, fifth grade, something like that, right?
Maybe, ballpark? Yeah, fifth, sixth.
Okay, so, but still, elementary school.
Yes.
All right. When Tony was in elementary school, Carson Beck was a freshman in college. And they played together last night in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And somewhere in North Carolina, Bill Belichick's jealous. He's like, I thought I was the only guy who picked dudes up in elementary school.
And Brady.
Yeah, Brady.
That competition
Brady,
between the two of them.
Yeah, when Alex Earl was 11 and in elementary school, Tom Brady had five Super Bowl rings. All right.
And now they ring in the new year.
We got lots cooking for you today, 888-808-1019. Later today, Big Mac's going to give you his picks on the NFL game, so we got that to look forward to. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playoff games this weekend. So looking forward to that. We'll break some of those down later on. Lots of Jets, lots of Giants. Knickerbocker's back in action. And I guess at some point, we'll sit here and we'll cry about the fact that the Yankees still haven't signed anybody.
I've got some thoughts on it.
Do you?
I've got some thoughts on Cody Bellinger.
Okay.
And his agent. and what the hell is going on.
I'm
going
to tell them
and how
on.
The Yankees should respond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what?
You're mad.
I'm mad.
You're
and
mad.
You and I both, I think you've, you know, you said it the other day. I think you and I are on the same page.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Here's Ryan in California, New Jersey. Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Doing great.
What's up,
thanks. Ryan?
I was calling in about
I know.
Trinidad guy.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I can't do that. It's a very simple process. It's like when you talk to anybody else on the phone. Someone says hello, you start talking. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Don't make this harder than it needs to be, right? By the way, did you see Lane Kiffin crying about how almost lost last night?
Yeah.
He was not crying because they lost.
No.
He was not crying because he feels bad for the kids that he recruited to Ole Miss. He lost $500,000 last night. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, right? He was still getting these contract
bonuses. I think
bonuses.
The story was $500,000 each round that they won. So he got $500,000 for the first win.
Right.
And he would have made another $500,000 if they beat Miami last night. Right?
It's amazing how college works. Miami
should have won that game by 30 last night.
Yeah.
They dropped 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
Yo, Beck underthrew a couple guys wide open for touchdowns. So they got lucky to win it, but they should have won by 30.
Yeah, no, that one on the sideline, that's a pick six earlier in the game. I saw that one live. Could have been a pick six.
How did you just have curiosity?
Yeah, listen.
It's a national semifinal.
I'm getting adjusted to the new schedule.
What's the new schedule?
I'm usually, what?
Like, what time do you get up in the morning?
I get up in the morning with the kids at like 6:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
You couldn't watch a national semifinal?
I did. I had every intention of watching it.
Doesn't someone else wake you up?
No.
Do you snore?
Everyone's sleeping.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
got
no,
it.
Everyone's sleeping.
And I mean, you live in that weird old house where like the bedroom's nowhere near the TV room. So it's not like your wife could come down and go, hey, dummy, wake up. Second half. College football playoff.
I don't think she would do that.
No?
No, that's not
She'd
my
She'd
be
wife. So happy you're getting
She'd
sleep.
She does not want to bother me. But yeah, no, listen, I'm sorry. I went back and watched it. I didn't watch it live.
Watching it the next day doesn't work for me.
It's not ideal.
People do that.
It's not ideal. Tonight, I'll be more focused than on the game because the two quarterbacks, I know.
Look, because Dante Moore right now is viewed as the number two quarterback.
Yeah.
And Mendoza is viewed as number one.
I want to see these two quarterbacks play. I really do. Now, listen, I do think Chambliss is throwing himself in the mix. The way he played against Georgia, the way he played last night. But these are the two quarterbacks everybody's talking about for the New York Jets. I'm interested in watching the game. I'll make sure I stay awake tonight.
All right, we got lots to do. 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show with Big Matt. Craig Carton, great to have you here. Coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios. Powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Absolutely nobody.